First Thessalonians chapter 5. And we are going to pick up where we left off last week. You know, it's interesting. I always am amazed how that sometimes, and Nathan and I, we never talk about what we're going to share, do we, brother? You know, and I'm always amazed how that what we share, you know, just coincides with and complements, you know, one another. And I think of the importance of understanding that is that the Spirit of God is speaking to the church. This is, again, a continuation of what we were talking about last week. Remember, we talked a lot of last week about light and dark and kind of going back into that theme a little bit this morning. So I'm going to have Brother Nathan, if you would stand and ask the blessing upon the word this morning, we'll get right into it. Okay, we're going to pick up our thought in verse 7 and 8 this morning. So, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 7 and 8. And here it says, those who sleep, sleep at night. And those who get drunk are drunk at night. And let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet the hope of salvation. Now, when you look at these verses, you notice that there's some words in there that I think are really just chock full of allegory for us. For example, when you sleep, I'm not aware of what's going on around me when I'm sleeping. I mean, I'm just like a rock when I sleep. And I am a light sleeper if I hear a noise or something like that. But I'm literally when I'm out, I'm out. Right? You're that way, I'm sure. What this is telling us is that the people who are walking in the night of this world, they're oblivious to how close they are to destruction. They're oblivious to the darkness and the things that lurk in the dark. And then it says those who get drunk at night. Again, the word sober there, it simply means to be aware and to live expectantly. You know, when people are drunk with wine or any kind of other alcohol, you know, your senses are dulled. You are not in your right frame of mind, you might say. And so it's using this as an allegory to speak of what it's like for people who are living according to the flesh, walking in the ways of the world, and not walking in the light of God's Word. I think it needs to be understood that it doesn't mean that folks that we have to be such where we, you know, we got to put on bed sheets and sit on top of mountains or anything like that, you know. But it certainly means that we need to be aware of the Word of God and what He says in a prophetical sense and in a very literal sense, and to see and discern the times that we're living in. And folks, if we are not, we are walking in anything other than the light. We should be always walking in the light of His return, realizing that one day our works are going to be judged, and that the opportunities to do good works here upon the earth are soon going to be over, and this earth is going to end. And so we should always live with eternity's values in view. Now, I want you to listen to me here, if you will. There's a difference between being ready to go to heaven and being ready to meet the Lord. How many of you believe that? Think about it for a second, okay? Anyone who has sincerely trusted the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation is ready to go to heaven, right? I mean, the Lord, His sacrifice upon the cross of Calvary has taken care of that. But to be ready to meet the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ is quite a different matter. You see, the Scripture seems to indicate that some believers may not really be happy to see that time of judgment come because of how they have conducted their lives. We find in 1 John chapter 2, verse 28. Don't mind underlining this verse of Scripture. underline it, if you will, because I hope it will speak to your heart. It says, and now, little children, abide in him. Listen, this is the reason why. That when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. You mean there's Christians that are going to be ashamed? You betcha. Because of the way that they have conducted their lives. Amen. Warren Wiersbe said this. He said, having been a pastor for many years, I have had a very sad experience of seeing many times believers deliberately disobey the Word of God. I recall one young lady who stubbornly chose to marry an unsaved man. And when I tried to help her from the Bible, she said, I don't care what you say. I don't care what the Bible says. I'm going to get married. And so if you look at that, in light of what the Scriptures have to say, for example, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, I'm going to talk a little about this a little bit later too, but it says, obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. She was happy to go ahead and marry this man, knowing and understanding what the Scriptures had to say. But one day she will not be happy at the judgment seat of Christ when the Lord hands out the rewards. Amen. Believers who live to see Jesus, live in expectation to see Jesus and his return, will certainly enjoy a better life than the Christians who compromise with the world. Compromising with the world, folks, is walking in darkness. What is walking in darkness? Remember last week I told you that the Scripture says, Jesus said, take heed that the light that is in you be not darkness. Well, the Bible tells us that God's Word is light. Amen? And God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. God is also love. The two coincide with one another. It speaks of who He is. And, you know, the only way that you're going to be able to walk in the light is if you get the light of the Word inside of you. And it not only is inside of you, but begins to be manifested from you. I've always been fascinated by how that the heavens declare the glory of God. The sun, you know, it shines upon the moon. The sun is a type of God the Father, right? The moon is a type of the church. It has no light in and of itself. It is dependent upon the light reflecting from the sun. And that's you and I as the church. We must reflect the light of Jesus Christ. Because if we're going to reach people, they must see God in us. And if they see light and the love of God in us, then we are fulfilling the will and the purpose of God, and in that is great, rich reward. Now, Brother Nathan shared a verse of Scripture this morning, and I wanted to touch on it for just a moment because there's something there that I think that sometimes we often overlook certain words and meanings. But here in chapter 2, I believe it is, in verse 15... Get Natalie, get a moment there to get that up on the screen for you. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15, it says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, again, as a young believer, I used to read this verse of Scripture and it kind of would kind of terrify me a little bit, and like, you know, that meant that God didn't love me, but that's not what it means. It's talking about the fact that the love of the Father, His light, living through us, should be manifest always. You know, and if you're not having the love of the Father being manifest through you to other people, you're walking in darkness. You are not walking in the light. Now, how do we know that? Look at the next verse here. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. Notice it's not of the Father. Those things are not of the Father. They're of the world. It's darkness. This whole world lies in darkness, the Bible says. And so we have to understand that our calling is to walk in the light as He is in the light. Amen? The Scripture says very clearly, let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify God. If we folks are walking in darkness, how are we going to reflect the light of Jesus Christ? Amen? Again, what is walking in darkness? It's walking in anything that is contrary to God's Word. For example, I'm just going to give you an example. For example, one of the things that seems to be really popular in the day that we live in, and many Christians go to church, they're professing Christians, go to church, and they're living in sin. They're living without the benefit of marriage. Okay? That's walking in darkness. Because you're walking contrary to God's Word. If you're walking and you're busy telling lies and things like that, that's walking in darkness. The Bible says that all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. Very clearly. That's what it leads to. If you're here and you're stealing from people, you're stealing. Again, you know, be careful, because that sin, any sin, will harden your heart against the things of God. Right? And so, the thing we have to remember is that walking in the light is to be a reflection of God's love to other people. It's not to cramp your style or anything like that. You know, and so oftentimes people are in a position where they say, well, this is just too hard. A lot of people say, well, you know what, Kerry, what you've shared this morning, it just disturbed me so bad, because it's an area that just makes me feel bad, you know, and I don't think I'm going to come to church anymore, you know. But listen, I'm telling you, folks, if you will allow the Word of God, and I believe what I'm sharing with you is the Word of God, to be able to correct you and chasten you and to bring you into that place of correction and repentance, that change of mind, quit going your way to go God's way. Folks, I'm not sorry that I might upturn your cart this morning, or that you might feel bad about what I've shared with you this morning, because it's caused you to repent. That's what the Apostle Paul said. He said that to the Corinthians, you know, when he's talking to them about, you know, the things that were going on in the Corinthian church. And he said that I'm not going to repent of making you sorry if it caused you to change. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 8 through 11, he says, for even if I made you sorry with my letter, I do not regret it, though I did regret it. For I perceive that the same epistle made you sorry, though only for a little while. Now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that you were your sorrow led to repentance. For you were made sorry in a godly manner, that you might suffer the loss from us in nothing. For godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation, not to be regretted. But the sorrow of the world produces death. For observe this very thing, that you sorrowed in a godly manner, and what diligence it produced in you, what a clearing of yourselves, what indignation, what fear, what vehement desire and zeal, what vindication. In all things you proved yourselves to be clear in this matter. In other words, it has a cleansing work. Amen. So you can't despise it. You know, and the Scripture actually refers to it even as a chastening. The Bible says don't despise the chastening of the Lord. Amen. Because it yields the peaceable fruit. You know, the fruit of Christ, the light of the world, in the lives of those who are exercised by it. If you continue to walk in darkness, folks, it can end up in a very tragic situation. You see, like Brother Nathan said this morning, God keeps us in the palm of His hand. No man can take you from His hand, but you can walk off the foundation. And the sin, the Bible talks about sin hardening the heart. The Apostle Paul was so concerned about this Corinthian church that he said this in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 19 through 21. He said, again, do you think that we excuse ourselves to you? We speak before God in Christ, but we do all things, beloved, for your edification. In other words, they were setting the examples. For I fear, lest when I come, I shall find you such as I will not find you such as I wish, and that I shall be found by you such as you do not wish, lest there be contentions, there be jealousies, there be outbursts of wrath and selfish ambitions, backbitings, whisperings, conceits, and tumult. Now, those things happen in churches all the time, right? Now, I'm going to read the next verse of Scripture, but before I do, I want you to think about this. How many of you here say, Kerry, I walk in the light. I never have a problem with walking in the darkness. How many of us here can say, I've never had darkness in my life? As a believer, even, I have never had darkness in my life. You know, the Bible says if you say that you have not sinned, what does it say? You're a liar. You're a liar. But is it God's will you walk in darkness? No. He wants you to shine as a bright shining light like the sun of the day. Amen? So that people can see Christ in you, that they can, so that you can glorify the Father. And folks, if you are walking in darkness, that's not going to happen. At the very least, you will not receive reward. At the worst, it could lead you away from God. Because the Bible says sin hardens the heart. Look at what it says here. Least when I come again, my God will humble me among you, and I shall, listen, mourn for many who have sinned before and have not what? Repented. Changed their mind. Of the uncleanness and the fornication and the lewdness which they have practiced. Now notice the word practiced. It's something that they do on a continual basis. Folks, this is something we need to be very concerned about. Not only in our lives, but we need to be concerned about our brothers and sisters who are allowing themselves to walk in darkness. And the Bible says if you who are spiritual see somebody who is not walking in the light like that, it says, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. But examining yourself first, you see, make sure you're not guilty of the same thing. We were talking about this in Thursday night Bible study. You know that verse of Scripture that says, judge not, lest you be judged? And so many people, most unbelievers know that verse of Scripture, you know. And if you say something that's contrary to what they're doing, they say, well, you're not supposed to judge. Did you know the Bible doesn't say that you're not supposed to judge? It says that you're not supposed to judge if you're doing the same thing. Do you think you're going to escape if you're doing the same thing? But the Bible says the spiritual man judges all things, but he is rightly judged of no one. See, the spiritual man is that one that's spoken of in Galatians that we spoke about. The spiritual man judges all things, but he's, you know, and you who are spiritual, restore such a one who's walking in sin. And so the purpose is love, to see them restored. You see, it's all about love. And it's not about trying to hurt somebody's feelings. It's about getting them back in that place of fellowship with the Lord. Because the Bible says very clearly that if you are walking in darkness, and you say you have fellowship with the Lord. Again, what does it say? You lie and do not the truth. Folks, we're just being honest with you this morning. God's called us, each and every one, to repentance. I remember the Apostle Paul as he's speaking to the people of Athens there in Acts chapter 17, verse 30 through 31. He said, truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men, where? Everywhere, to what? Repent. That means change your mind about sin and your old lifestyle. Because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. And he has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. Amen. Now, I was thinking also about the woman who was a prostitute. Jesus had been invited to a meal, and he came in, and they didn't wash his feet. But the Bible says that she came in, and she washed his feet
with her tears. You see, she was broken. She was hurting because she recognized this, that she was a sinner. And she began to wash his feet with her tears. And those who were with us said, if he'd have known what kind of woman this is, he would have had no part of this. And remember what he said? This woman, whose sins are many, her sins are forgiven her. And she, you know, whose sins are many, has been forgiven much, you know, will love the more. You see? Now I want you to think about this for a moment. Why is it people may say they make a profession of faith in Jesus Christ, but they continue to walk in sin? It's not fitting. It's not right, is it? It shows you one thing. Their love for the Lord is not very thick there. Or they've forgotten that they have been purged from their sin. Or they are make-believers. They don't really know the Lord. They've never really truly repented. You see, there is a possibility that you can grow, you know, lax in your relationship with the Lord. Just like any kind of marriage relationship, you can let it go so where you don't have that closeness and that, you know, that desire like you once had before. But folks, we have to rekindle that.
We have to rekindle it. The Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 5 that we can know that we are saved. We don't have to sit around wondering that we're, you know, saved or lost. It says, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he has testified of his Son. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe the Son of God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son. And this is the testimony, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. You got to let his life be manifest and lived from within you. He who has seen the Son has life. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Now, God wants you to have that hope of salvation. He doesn't want you to sit around wondering. And I think as you read Scripture correctly, you'll see that there's actually three tenses of salvation, you might say. There's the past. In other words, I have been saved from the guilt and the penalty of sin through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. There is the present, which is I am being saved from the power and the pollution of sin by his life being manifest in me. And then there's the future. I shall be saved from the very presence of sin when Jesus returns. That's the blessed hope. The blessed hope is the hope of his return, the hope of salvation. Now, unsaved people, they don't see this. They're without hope. And the Bible says this, one of the reasons why they say, let's eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. But as we as believers, we know that we have hope because we have the light of his word. And we have to allow that light to be manifest in us so that others can experience it too. The Apostle Paul knew that these Thessalonians were saved. They were manifesting this to others too. All the churches round about were coming to know the Lord because of their witness and their lifestyle and their testimony. He says in 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 2 through 4, he said, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work and faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and Father, who's always looking. Amen. Who's always watching. You may think that no one's watching, no one's looking, but God always sees. Amen. Knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God. See, he knew for certain that they were right with God. That's one of the reasons why he could say to them that they were going to meet Christ in the air together, and that they were his joy, his crown at the Lord's appearing, you see. Now, verse 9 through 11, It says, "For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you are doing." Now here again it says, it's kind of a repetition of a verse that was shared earlier in the last part of the last chapter, to comfort one another with these words. Be aware that the Lord is not slack, amen, concerning his promises. He's going to return. And for those who are living for him, he's going to reward them. The Bible says, you know, that we should need to be patient, amen. Don't be weary in well-doing, for we're going to reap in due time if we don't faint. Don't fall back into sin. Make a decision right here, right now, to repent of the ways of the world. And again, if we do not, as I shared with you earlier, it's not fitting. It's not right. That the Bible actually refers to us as that we should be like stars shining from the heavens. Amen? Being a reflection of the sun. And if we're not reflecting him, then it's not fitting. The scripture that comes to mind that really brings some clarity to what I'm talking about is Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3 through 8. Listen to what it says. "But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, or covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God." Notice it says next, "Do not let anyone deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." If you're here this morning and you have been walking in darkness, I want to exhort you. I want to give you as much godly counsel as I can to begin to walk in the light, to repent of that sin and that evil, because it's only going to lead to more darkness. And it's only going to lead to more destruction in your life. You know, I mentioned the fact that the Bible says that you know, living together in fornication without the benefit of marriage. It says in the book of Hebrews, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers the fornicators and whoremongers, God will judge. He is speaking to the church there. Now, it's not me who's judging you. It's the Word of God, you see, if I share the truth. And I hope that it will have a cleansing work in you, a desire to put off the works of darkness and to begin to walk uprightly before God. You see, God loves you too much to let you go. And he has put different people in the positions of pastors and teachers and preachers for the work of the ministry, for the edification of the body of Christ, till you come to the stature of the perfect man, who is Jesus Christ. Begin to act and look like him so you can reflect him to the world. And again, folks, if I'm not doing that, then I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And I'm walking in darkness. But if I'm sharing the light of his word to you, then you need to allow that light to kindle a spark in your soul once again, so that you will begin to walk brightly and walk in the light as he is in the light. This world's going to pass away. You may think it has so much to offer, but it does not. And the Bible says the wicked, even the wicked, are going to be ashes under the soles of your feet. And again, what does it say? Do not be partakers with them. You see, I pray constantly, Lord, please, God, please don't let me do anything to bring a reproach upon you.
I know this guy, you see. I know that within me, and I know that within you, is the capability to do just horrendous evil. But I also know that I have the Spirit of Christ within me. And I know that if I allow Him to live His life in me, then His light is going to shine through me. But if I begin to walk in darkness, the Lord actually referred to us as being salt. But it's salt that's lost its savor. It's good for nothing to be cast out, right? You put a light under a bushel basket, what good is it? God's called us to be salt and light in this world. And so, if you're here this morning and you are comfortable in your sin, I do want to make you uncomfortable. I want to make you so uncomfortable that it will do the very thing that the Apostle Paul said, produce a change in you, a repentance. Because God's desire is to see you one day in glory so that He can reward you in heaven and you won't be ashamed. And keep in mind this, the Lord said, when we repent and we ask forgiveness and turn away from it, we're going to have mercy. I believe the Lord casts all of our sins into the deepest sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered against us again. But the Bible says if we try to cover our sin and try to continue in our sin, we won't prosper. You won't prosper. If you truly are a believer, God is going to discipline you. And it's not fun. It's grievous, the Bible says. So I encourage you today, if you're here and you have allowed sin into your life, to repent. Fall upon your face before God and ask Him to forgive you. He's faithful and just to forgive us. But if you harden your heart and you turn away from what we shared with you this morning, the Bible gives very dire warning. In the book of Matthew, it talks about how that there will be many who stand before Him in that day who will say, Lord, Lord, didn't we preach in Your name? Didn't we teach in Your name? And the Lord will say, get away from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. I want to read what's after that because it's very important. Let me see if I can find it here. I have to sometimes skip over some of my notes because I get a little bit long-winded. The Lord gives me different things. But in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 through 23, it says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wondrous works in your name? And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who, listen, practice lawlessness. You got to ask yourself, are you practicing sin in your life? Because if you are, my friend, there needs to be some repentance. God's calling you to change. Amen. Let's bow our heads.